We'll begin by doing our hymn sing. So if you have a special hymn you would like to have us sing the first two verses or whatever you suggest, please raise your hand or shout out that number. And
664.
664. Verses 1 and 2?
1 and 2.
Okay.
Six, six, four.
Blessing, our true faith confessing, the people of God from this dwelling take leave. The service is ended, though now be extended, the fruits of our worship in all who believe. Shall blossom in action for God and for all. God's grace did invite us, and love shall unite us to work for God's kingdom and answer the call. With praise and thanksgiving to God ever living, the task of our everyday life we shall face, our faith ever sharing, in love ever caring, embracing us children of each tribe and race. With your grace you feed us, with your light now lead us, unite us as one in this life that we share. Then may all the living with praise and thanksgiving give honor to Christ and that name which we bear.
Thank you.
You have a challenge.
Deb. 89, 1 and 3.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Cut on for like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the doubt of doubt away. Evil of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day.
Verse 3.
Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever bless. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou art Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine.
Yes. 98, 1 and 3.
That's one of my favorite. To
God be the glory, great things He has done. So love He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life on the atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be the wonder of transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
I know we have time for one more. Yes, Alita?
144, verses 1 and 3. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and sea. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that through the wrong seems of so long, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad. Thank you.
Thank you, Colleen. That was beautiful. And I will put my glasses on so I can read up here. In case you hadn't figured out, I am not Mark Pertile. Okay, I'm Debbie Wilson. Okay. And yes, I am supposed to be here this morning. So I want to welcome all of you to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith, on this beautiful Palm Sunday. We are really blessed to be in this lovely church and to have the message that's coming forth on this day to remember Jesus and all that we will be celebrating in the next week. So,
amen.
Welcome. Glad you're here. We have red pew pads at the end of each pew, so if you would please record your attendance, we'd appreciate that. And I would like to give special happy birthday greetings to everyone. May you live a long life full of gladness and health with a pocket full of gold as the least of your wealth. May the dreams you hold dearest be those which come true, and may the kindness you spread keep returning to you. And I'm going to ask for extra birthday wishes today. My youngest has a birthday today, so I'm celebrating not only those here, but also my youngest. The April newsletter is in the Narthex, or you can also find that online. Please contact the office if you wish to switch to email delivery, and then you won't have to have it mailed to you. The Friendly Visitor has lots of great information and beautiful pictures. Deb does a wonderful job of putting that together, so we're very blessed to have that every month. Palm Sunday bake sale is today. There will be lots of goodies for sale. I saw them coming in as I was walking into church this morning. All proceeds will go to the general fund. So go partake in all those wonderful, delicious things that are waiting for you to take home. Book Club meets this Tuesday, April 15th, in the Camellia Room at 10 a.m. to discuss The Frozen River by Ariel Lahan. You can contact Deb to join by Zoom. I have personally read the book. It is wonderful. So I do hope that if you don't have a chance to read it, please come. I'm sure it will be a lively discussion, and you might be enticed to read it on your own. ICSC, the Interfaith Community Support Center, is struggling to meet the needs of our community. So please donate a little extra if you can. I think most of you know that I sit on the board and volunteer at Yucaipa Calamasa Family Assistance. And I will tell you the need has, I won't say doubled, but we had over 2,200 people come in to take advantage of our food at the pantry. And I know we are running very, very low. So I encourage you, if you have a moment, to maybe add that extra box of cereal, or we at Family Assistance on Avenue B would love to have any fresh produce, or fruit citrus that is coming off your trees and you don't know what to do with it, please bring it to us. We will make sure that it gets out to the community. Thank you. Free Saturday movies. May 3rd is our next movie. It's the story of Richard and Mildred, a couple whose arrest for interracial marriage in 1960. Virginia began a legal battle that would end with the Supreme Court's historic 1967 decision. The Loving is a wonderful movie. I've seen it, and I think you will enjoy it. The next pastor's luncheon will take place on May 14th at noon at Legend A China in Calamasa. The cost is $15. Please let us know if you are coming. There is a sign-up sheet on the script table in the fellowship hall, or you can call the church office. And if you would please stand as you are able for the call to worship. Hosanna to the Son of God. Bless and honor him with glory and power.
Hosanna to the Son of God. Extol and worship him with thanks and adoration.
Shout for joy, our King marches on to save the sin-sick souls.
Shout for joy, our King marches on, proclaiming his kingdom is here now.
And if you would join us in hymn 278, verses 1 through C, Hosanna, loud Hosanna.
Hosanna, loud Hosanna, the little children sang. To the Lord court and temple, the lovely anthem rang. To Jesus who had blessed them, close folded to his breast. The children sang their praises, the simplest and the best. From Olivet they followed me, the exultant crowd, the victor palm branch waving and chanting clear and loud. The Lord of earth and heaven brought on in lonely state. Those scorned little children cheered on his binding way. Hosanna in the highest, that ancient song we sing. For Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of heaven, the King. Oh, may we ever praise him with heart and life and voice, and in his blissful presence eternally rejoice.
And now if you would take a few minutes to greet one another, passing the peace.
Alrighty.
It's wonderful.
Let us welcome. Well, I mean, I welcome all of you here in this beautiful sanctuary, but I also want to welcome all those faithful worshipers every Sunday. So glad to see you, Helen, as usual. Hello, hello. And Kenny, I think he's already in Georgia. he's joining us for worship. Welcome, Kenny. So good to see you. And welcome, June and Joyce. You guys look very nice as usual. And welcome. We have one who comes to worship with us on iPad. So whoever you are, we welcome you. And welcome, April and Bill and Chris and Alicia. David is about to enter the Zoom. So, David, welcome.
Now is the time for our sharing of our joys and concerns. Deb has the mic, and I would like to ask for travel mercies. I'm going to see my other daughter in Colorado this week, so I'm excited for that, and it's going to get cold. I hope there will not be snow. So.
Okay, I have a couple of announcements first. One is that I want everybody to go to the bake sale because there's a lot of great stuff over there, and I hope you buy it all because we don't want to take it home again. And it will keep for a long time, so it'll keep you happy. So do that. I also want to ask for prayers for Susan Elmore. She has diverticulitis, and they're having difficulty. They've given her antibiotics that haven't worked and have been making things worse, and she's having difficulty getting her MRI scheduled with her doctor's office. So please keep her in prayer that she can get everything resolved and know what's going on. And I also want to say that next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we're doing fancy finger foods, so we would like everybody to bring finger foods for everybody to partake and have a celebration over in Fellowship Hall. And we're doing an indoor all-ages Easter egg hunt in Fellowship Hall. So you can go over there after worship, find a couple eggs with candy for dessert, and do that. So. Yes, there will be a flower cross next Sunday, and so bring your flowers by 9 o'clock so that we can get them on the flower cross, and then that will be in the sanctuary, and we'll bring it back out and put it in the yard for pictures.
I mean, you don't have to be exactly by 9, but like a little bit early would be a little bit, you know, nice.
Shoot for 9.
Hi, Judith Thompson. A few weeks ago, I asked for prayers for the sister-in-law of one of my best friends. Her name is Jane Porter. She has been in the hospital. She's been moved to a rehabilitative facility. She is doing better. It's going slow, which with a double head injury and stuff, is not a surprise. But she... it's frustrating to the family and stuff. I know that it's supposed to go slow, but continue prayers for Jane Porter. She is healing. It's a slow process. And I know the whole family can use any uplifting, and I know this church can provide a lot.
I have a joy to share. Last Tuesday was my eldest son's birthday, and my youngest son couldn't get together with us because he was going somewhere else, so we did it on Wednesday. And Grant wanted to go to U-Type on the boulevard, and the weather was so nice, and we sat there, and the people left, and left us there as we just enjoyed ourselves and had a wonderful time.
Hi, my name is Pat Shores. As usual, I have a joy. I got to go see the babies yesterday, and every week they're cuter than the week before, and I get to play with Leanne. She just loves to run around, and I chase her and chase her and chase her, and after 5 trips around the perimeter, I'm tired and I have to sit down, but I think she could run forever.
Thank you. Good morning. Sorry. Just want prayer for traveling back to Seattle for work. Washington for work. Keep me safe out there and behave. also, God to watch over my family. Give God all the honor, praise, and glory for also strength yesterday for me and Gina. We had a big backyard project, cutting the grass and all of that before I leave. So it was accomplished well. So got a suntan out of it. So God bless y'all. Good to see you. Decoration's great.
Good to see you. For those of you who do not know, Sport was on a movie once. Was several times, I don't know. I was talking about a movie star, and he said, oh, I was on a movie. We have a Hollywood star.
Is there anyone on Zoom? Raise your hand and unmute. Kenny. I'm not hearing you. Just a second.
Maybe turn on the microphone volume.
Try it again. I'm sorry, we're still not hearing you. If you can type it and send it in to me, I will pass it on and later.
It's now time for the unison prayer, if you would please join me. Dear Jesus, our crucified Redeemer, beyond the shouts of the crowd, you saw the way of suffering. Riding a foal into Jerusalem, your eyes were fastened on Calvary. Not wavered by sorrow, nor weakened by pain, you paid it all for our sins. Grant us steadfast faith, so that we may not give up, nor give in to our shame, so that in the end, we may share in the glory of Easter with you. For your name's sake. Amen.
Let us continue to be in the spirit of prayer. God knows our heart. God knows our need. God knows our circumstances, and let us open our hearts and speak to him in silence. And may we invite the Holy Spirit so that God may come in and touch our heart and touch our lives through his Holy Spirit, that we may experience his powerful presence once more. So let us continue. Lord Jesus, as you rode a donkey into the old city of David, we know that it was a turning point of your life. To conclude your life on the earth. As we look at where we are today, we may be at a big juncture of our life, maybe a turning point. But what we know, O Lord, is that as we look back, look at the areas where we have been, we see your guiding hand, your providence, your grace in many places. We see the powerful hand that carried us. So, Lord, we know that because of your presence in our life, we have come this far. But, Lord, where we are today, we look at our surroundings, look at our path ahead of us. We see a lot of troubles, a lot of uncertainties, even doubt about if we are going to make it until the end. We just don't know about our tomorrows, O Lord. Other than our tomorrows are filled with a lot of uncertainties. But, O Lord, as we have come to worship you in this place, we are reminded once more of your presence. And the presence that we are privileged with, that you promised to be with us until the very end. And as we hold on to that promise, we know that we will be all right, we'll be taken care of, our needs will be met once more, and you will continue to lead us on without failing. So, Lord, we hold on to you, your grace, your guiding hand once more. As we come before your presence, we have brought our concerns for our loved ones and for our communities and for those whom you have placed in our life circle. And we ask you, O Lord, to reach out unto them and manifest your power and your presence the way that you have done to us, so that they too may experience you once more. As Jesus walked into Jerusalem with the full knowledge that his death was imminent, we can walk into the unknown future with the full knowledge of your presence in our lives. So, increase our faith, O Lord, regardless the life circumstances, we may hold on to you. As you have done it in our past, we know that you are fulfilling your will today, and you continue to use us to bring glory unto your name until the end. So we humbly acknowledge your will, your plan upon our life journey, and upon the life of our loved ones, upon this church, upon this community, and the world today. So now we join our hearts in praying the prayer that you taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now it's time for the Young at Heart.
Before God made the heavens and the earth, he lived in perfect joy. He delighted in himself, one forever existing, perfect being, Father, Son, and Spirit, all in one. So before time was, there was love. In love, God made everything, even you and me. Now he made us to be his friends. But we have a big, big problem. Do you know what it is? Sin. Our greatest grandparents, Adam and Eve, walked away from God in the Garden of Eden. And since then, we're all born with a seed of sin in our hearts. We lie, we steal, we cheat, and it all breaks his heart. You see, God is perfectly clean, like a brand new shirt. Our sin makes us filthy, like we rolled in the dirt. So the big, big problem is this. God is so good and sin is so bad, God and sin just can't be friends. What should God do with us? We have sin. And because of our sin, we should get forever death, forever far away from him, forever never God's friend, all because of sin. But God is love. Father, Spirit, Son, and love loved us so much, love gave us Jesus. Now Jesus is God's Son, but he was a lot like you and me. He loved to play, talk, and sing. And do you know what else he loved? Children. They'd come for tickles and stories and hugs. Sometimes they'd come with messy hair and stinky feet, but do you think Jesus loved them any less? Do you think he'd first make them take a bath? Ha, of course not. He brought them close every time. He showed them what God is like, strong and gentle, honest and kind. And then one day, like the most amazing friend, Jesus gave us the biggest gift. A gift more exciting than your wildest dreams, a gift sweeter than all the ice cream you could ever eat, a gift even better than 100 presents, a gift that cost the price of heaven. Can you guess what it was that Jesus gave us? Well, here it is. Jesus died and rose again to take away all our sins and make us his forever friends. You see, this gift God gave us was the greatest gift of all. He gave us himself. That is love. So how can we get God's greatest gift? How can we become Jesus' friends? By trying really, really hard to be perfect? By saving all our pennies to pay for it? By learning a bunch of big, big words like communicable attribute? No, 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 none of those things will do. Don't you see? God is love. And love is received by anyone who will just believe. Who can be friends with Jesus? When Jesus lived here on earth, he met lots of different people. Some had a bunch of money and toys. Others had very few toys. Some knew tons of stuff about God. Others knew very little about God. Some had lots of friends. Others had no friends at all. But Jesus knew that our biggest problem isn't how much or how little we have. Our big, big problem is our sin. It keeps us from being friends with God. But it was always God's plan to show us his great love by giving us Jesus, who died for our sins and rose again so that we could become his friends. John 15:13. John, a very good friend of Jesus, told us, "To all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." John 1:12. Jesus wants to be your friend too. Will you trust him today? None of us are too old to go to Jesus as children. And thank God for that. Amen.
Thank you, Deb. And now it's time for our next hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, hymn 297, verses 1 through 3.
Cross of Jesus, the shadow of a mighty rock, weed in a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. Upon that cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered death for me. And from my stricken heart reaches to wonders I confess, the wonders of redeeming love and my unworthiness. I take across thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. 110 to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my own shame, my glory, all the cross.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Mark 10, verses 32 through 44. A third time, Jesus foretells his death and resurrection. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside and again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "Look, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." Then there was the request of John, James and John. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Appoint us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism when I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to appoint, but it is for those with whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to get angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Instead, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave to all." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all on this beautiful Palm Sunday morning. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will visit each and every one of us, that we may be filled with the joy of the Lord worshiping together this morning. For those interested in visiting Israel, I have several tour options based on biblical history. The Elijah Tour offers one-way air travel to the stunning peak of Mount Carmel. It is limited to one passenger at a time and is perfectly suited for individuals with a phobia of crowd. The return journey is in a chariot of fire equipped with ample fire blankets and extinguishers. Meals consist of a single slice of bread per day, so one must eat like a bird. The Saul of Tarsus tour begins with riding donkeys to Damascus. You need to bring dark sunglasses to pass a point that shoots a laser beam at your eyes. You may experience temporary blindness for a few days. Accommodations are in four-star dungeons. The highlight of the trip involves bailing out water while aboard the ship to the final destination in Rome, Italy. The Noah Tour features a special 40-day cruise on a colossal ship without windows. it is not recommended for claustrophobics. Passengers can choose animals to sleep with, a minimum of three, but there is no extra charge for more. A caution, some passengers may behave like animals after 1 week on board. The Sarah Tour offers a lot of laughs and is strongly recommended for older women suffering from depression due to empty nest syndrome. It is not recommended for women of 89 years old, as they may return with extra family members. The Simon Tour includes ride on fishing boats in the Sea of Galilee. A water walking option is available, but life jackets not provided. The rooster crowing contest is the highlight of the tour, and the winner receives complimentary accommodation in a Jerusalem hotel located next to a chicken farm. The Jesus Entry into Jerusalem tour occurs once a year on Palm Sunday, where you ride donkeys into the old city of David. For safety, the road is covered with plenty of palm branches. The highlight of the tour is carrying a 300-pound wooden cross via Dolorosa. A strict no-cancellation policy is enforced. Any of you want to join those trips? Throughout his public ministry, Jesus traveled everywhere on foot. His entry into Jerusalem on a donkey was an unusual sight. Observing how Jesus entered, the people thought he would be their political liberator. They shouted, "Hosanna, save us, Son of David, rule over us like David, the greatest king of Israel." The crowd was completely oblivious to what would happen next. But for Jesus, it was his last trip to Jerusalem. He was literally entering his own grave. The crowd and even the disciples did not and could not grasp what lay beyond the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Just like the crowd and the disciples, we often focus on our current circumstances and fail to look beyond the pain and suffering. Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection help us break away from our narrow vision of the present and see further into the future. The Bible highlights our shared misunderstanding regarding the crucifixion when considered separately from the resurrection. Although these are two distinct events, the crucifixion cannot be fully understood without the resurrection. Together, these events are critical to Jesus' redemptive work and must be examined in conjunction. Let me explain what it means. Note that the following Old Testament prophecies encompass both the crucifixion and resurrection. God revealed his plan of salvation after Adam and Eve broke his law. God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." As prophesied, Jesus, the only offspring of a woman, crushed Satan's head on the cross. While Satan could only pierce the Messiah's heel with a nail and could not kill him, this minor injury hints at the resurrection. Moses foreshadowed the coming Messiah. Moses said, "God would raise up for you a prophet like me from among you," in Deuteronomy 9:18. from among you indicate the Messiah's Jewish heritage. Rise up implies his resurrection. The consequence of violating the law of Moses was death, but Jesus established the new law of forgiveness and offered eternal life, the life of resurrection. One of the most frequently quoted prophecies of the Messiah is found in Isaiah 53, which describes the suffering servant. It says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." It is important to know that the same chapter of Isaiah 53 also speaks of the resurrection, and it says, "After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied." Now, let's look at the New Testament. The crucifixion and resurrection are also mentioned together in the New Testament. Jesus quoted the Old Testament prophecy, stating, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." See that? The continual pattern of the crucifixion and resurrection. As found in today's gospel lesson, Jesus almost always predicted his death and resurrection simultaneously. His teaching about a grain of wheat and his rising of Lazarus from the dead revealed the profound truth of both the crucifixion and resurrection. The apostles in the early church consistently preached these two key doctrines together. So look at the whole scripture. The entire scripture affirms that the crucifixion and resurrection must be connected for an accurate understanding of Jesus' redemptive work. What does this constant combination of the crucifixion and the resurrection suggest to us? It implies that the cross and the resurrection are two predetermined realities for the Messiah and also for believers. First, let's consider the cross. Just as Jesus was destined to carry his cross, every believer is also given their own cross. Now, the gospel lesson we read happened just before the Palm Sunday, and you can look it up. And right after this lesson, there's a recording of the Palm Sunday. James and John, the closest disciple to Jesus, did not fully understand Jesus' imminent death on the cross. They were more interested in seeking high political positions. They had no idea that they too had their own crosses to bear. James, soon after Jesus' ascension, became the first martyr, while John was banished to the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. I share this a few times with you. When I struggled with my calling, I thought I had many other options. But my perspective has now changed. If I had chosen a different path than parish ministry, God's providence would have continued to prevail in my life, ultimately guiding me to the path he originally designed for me. Any other choice I made could have led to wasted time in detours. This was precisely what happened to Jonah. He attempted to flee from God's calling but ultimately yield to it. There is no doubt that God has given each of us crosses to bear. Carrying crosses may not be a pleasant proposition, yet it is our only choice, not merely an option. Secondly, just as the cross was inevitable, so was the resurrection. One reason we try to run from our crosses is that we mistakenly think our lives revolve solely around carrying them. As a result, we often overlook the importance of overcoming pain and suffering. Looking forward to the day of victory, and ultimately the moment when we exchange our crosses for a golden crown, the days of glory in God's kingdom, and the rapture when the believers in Christ will be called to meet Jesus in the air. The day of resurrection is certain. Darkness today means the day of light will inevitably come. Hebrews 12 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." On Palm Sunday, Jesus looked toward the day of resurrection beyond the cheers of the crowd, his arrest, torture, and the painful death. Therefore, if any of us is in pain now, feeling crushed under the heavy weight of our crosses, we should focus on the day of resurrection. In a book called A Free Man's Worship, the British philosopher Bertrand Russell wrote, "All the labor of the ages, all the devotion, all the inspiration, all the noonday brightness of a human genius are destined to extinction in the vast death of the solar system. The whole temple of man's achievement must inevitably be buried beneath the debris of a universe in ruins." He may sound complicated to understand, but he simply means that death is the end for all humans and their achievement, whether small or great. Will Durant, the well-known American historian and philosopher, once said, "Life has become, in that total perspective, which is philosophy, a fitful pollution of human insects on the earth." I mean, think about these terminologies. Human insects, we are human insects, right? And there's more. "A planetary eczema that may soon be cured." Whatever the disease we have, there, planetary, there's a universal eczema. And it ends with this: "Nothing is certain in it but defeat and death." The words of these philosophers resonate with those who recognize the inevitability of death, but do not believe in the inevitability of resurrection. We have the crosses to carry. That's the inevitability. We cannot deny it. We can run from it. I mean, I tried, and I learned that I couldn't, right? Jonah tried. He learned he couldn't. You can try, and you will soon learn that you cannot run from your cross. Our crosses are inevitability. So is the reward after carrying the crosses. The reality of the resurrection is also the inevitability. Do you know Thomas Edison's last word before he died on October 18th? 1931, he said, "It's beautiful over there." there is a much debate about whether Edison was an atheist, but there is some room to consider that he might have envisioned beauty in heaven. Edison emerged from a coma shortly before he passed away, and he would not have referred to the view outside his window as he looked upward and said, "It's beautiful over there." He might have seen the vision of heaven. He looked beyond. Are you in trouble today? Have faith in Jesus and look beyond. It's beautiful over there. The day is coming when we will behold the fulfillment of God's promise with our own eyes. The day of rapture is approaching when we will be taken away from this troubled world to be with Jesus. We can also experience the rapture of heart today by looking beyond the present trouble and seeing Jesus at work on our behalf. Jesus carried the cross we were destined to carry. He has given us both small and large crosses, but we are not the only one who carry them. Jesus carried them with us. We can rise above our current sufferings as they cannot be compared to the future glory that will be revealed in us. And how can we rise above our current suffering? By looking beyond, and that is the act of faith. Amen.
Now is the time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. There is a plate at the back of the narthex that you can leave your donation. Also, you can get it to the church office, either mail or bring it in person. Thank you.
Love sent my Savior to die in my stead. Why should he love me so? Meekly to Calvary's cross he was led. Why should he should my Savior to Calvary. should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Why should he love me so?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Lord Jesus Christ, we all know that the great love, grace that you have bestowed upon us is something that we can never pay back. This offering is a small token of our acknowledgement of your great love, your great sacrifice on that cross. So, Lord, we bless you, we thank you, we honor you, and we give you this offering along with our commitment to continue to love you at our very best. So receive this offering and use it that it may be used to build your kingdom and your church and your ministry through this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our final hymn, The Old Rugged Cross, 504, 1 through 3.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. That old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous affection for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to the Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, the wondrous beauty I see. What was on that old cross, Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Let us pray. Lord, you just have reminded us our crosses are not something to avoid, but it is better for us to cherish, for there will be a great reward after carrying our heavy crosses. So, Lord, give us the willingness and give us the wisdom to carry the crosses you have given unto us. So we, Lord, commit ourselves to continue to carry the crosses and continue to love you and serve you, love your church, serve your people, and all the people that you have placed in our life circle. So empower us to be your disciples in the world today and send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Never be afraid, God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Though he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show. To others, so all the world can see.